your shower, wash our sins away. At the stars up above, a kiss at midnight, the salty taste of love is all the spirituality we could ever need. So let the meteor shower wash our sins away. So amazing, atoms to atoms, stardust and Darwin stuff to us. So pretty, babe. This universe was made for you and me. The raw naked wonder, the beauty of a mystery, undressing the moon, revealing the sun. Together there's a million more to be discovered by ova and spermatozoa yet to get it on.
So amazing, atoms to atoms, stardust to Darwin stuff to us. So pretty, baby, everything we see, this universe was made for you and me.
Upon an exploding star in the far horizon nebula, all around us, all within us, all the glitters, stardust in us, flying through space on Starship Earth at 67,000 miles an hour. All around us, all within us, all that glitters.
And good morning. Here we are once again with Wednesday Talk Radio, live in the studio here at KBOO Community Radio in inner southeast Portland near the Burnside Bridge. My name's Paul Rowland. Be here till 9 o'clock. And we've got a live guest in the studio to join us with conversation and music with Danbert Nobacon. Good morning.
Morning. Pleased to be here.
And that was your song we just heard.
Yeah, that's the title track from my newest album, and that's called Stardust to Darwin Stuff.
So there's such a optimistic, hopeful sound in that song. How do you pull it off?
Yeah, it's funny, given the current circumstances. So this is the first album I've done in 7 years, and so some of the songs are a couple of years old, or maybe even older. And I was recording it last fall in October, hoping to be done by the end of October, but it dragged on into November. And then, of course, the election happened, and which in a way was good because it gave me a chance to rejig a couple of the songs or change the lyrics to reflect what was happening. But yeah, I guess I am an optimist in a way, but I'm also I'm a realist, and what's happening, you know, with the planet because of our current president is a wake-up call.
Well, of course, you have that To Be or Not To Be song as well,
mm-hmm.
which really gets into that. Maybe we'll play that a little later, but let's talk first talk about, you know, you live up in Washington State now. You've been there for what? You said 10 years?
Almost 10 years,
almost
yeah.
10 years. Mm-hmm. But before that, of course, you lived in the UK and you were part of the epic anarchist punk band, Chumbawamba. Of course, yeah. It was, y'all were so much more than that and many things. But Chumbawamba was such an inspiration, certainly to me and to many people that I knew. I guess I wrote in the program page that anyone who was a punk or politically radical in the 1980s, of course, going into the 1990s, of course, knew or should have known about Chumbawamba, because you all did some of the most, just edgy, adventurous, both musically and lyrically, music, I think. And those two albums that Nevermind the Ballots and Pictures of Starving Children Sell Records, I think were two of the best political albums that I know of. Anyway, so Chumbawamba, let's talk about how you got started. You're from Northern England, right?
I'm from a town called Burnley in Lancashire, Northern England, 25 miles north of Manchester. So we'd go, when punk happened, we'd go Manchester and see bands. And then we had a band out of high school called Chimp Eats Banana, which lasted for 18 months. And then went to college and found that, you know, punk had kind of gripped our souls kind of thing. And three of us from Burnley formed Chumbawamba in 1982 and dropped out of school. And it carried on for me for 22 years.
It's a long run.
Yeah. And it's still going. We're still all in contact. And one of the guys is making a documentary about Chumbawamba currently.
Really? There hadn't been one made before?
There was one called Well Done Now Sod Off, which we made with the guy who made some of our music videos. When was that? Probably early 2000s. I think you can see it on YouTube.
We'll hear one or two Chumba songs, and mm-hmm. You've also brought your guitar, so we'll hear some live music in the studio and another track or two from your Stardust to Darwin stuff. And of course, the number to call in is 503-231-8187 if you'd like to talk to Danbert No Bacon yourself. And yeah, I was reading your, everybody's got a Wikipedia entry. Actually, I probably don't, but I was reading in here, and and also the Chumbawamba, reading some background. You all got started. Everybody did stuff on cassettes. So you started out doing stuff on cassette in the early days. Talk about the process of, you know, you were in a band in high school and then you started Chumbawamba. And from what I heard, you guys were sort of legendary by the time I heard of you guys, that you were a collective, you all lived together, you're all very radical, very politically committed. Talk about what that was like. It must have been a really all-encompassing kind of living experience.
So yeah, it's funny. So Chumbawamba started in 1982, January 1982, and I just turned 20. Initially we started doing cassettes. The first couple of releases were on cassette. And then it wasn't until 1985 the first 7-inch came out. And it was kind of such a revelation to put a record out, you know, having been influenced by punk. And that's what, you know, that what was great about punk. People put out 7-inches and some bands, that was all they ever did. And then the first album, Pictures of Starving Children. But yeah, throughout the 80s, we all were either on the dole or had other part-time jobs or did bits of school. And it was, we'd save up our summer vacation to do a tour and we'd play at weekends or whatever. Often, mostly benefit shows around England. And then because of the first EP, the ex from Holland heard it and they said, you got to come tour Holland. And we're like, yeah, yeah. And then we started touring Western Europe, as it was then. And it's funny you talk about cassettes, because when the Berlin Wall came down, we got invited to Poland and Prague and Budapest. and the currency in Eastern Europe was the cassette. So we rolled up in Poznan in Poland in 1990 or whenever it was. You know, and we had all the vinyl in the back of the van, and we get there, and in the venue, and there was a crowd of people waiting for us, which was a shock anyway. And they were in the venue, there were just all these stalls with T-shirts and cassettes, and way undercutting what we could sell them for. So we didn't even get our stuff out of the van. But it was great because our music had got there illegally and circulated, and people knew the songs, you know, and we'd never been there. And then just recently, actually, someone sent me a photograph of a released archive from the secret Polish police, and us and the X and a few other bands were in the secret files of the Polish secret police. So kind of funny. We're all in the secret files of the NSA now, so I suppose it's not much different.
Well, how about, you know, talking about that, what sort of police repression did you all experience?
Well, so yeah, we lived in a shared house, and initially we squatted it in Leeds, and then we made a deal with the landlord and stayed there. I lived there 13 years, and during that time we got raided 3 times by the police. The first couple of times they were looking for drugs, because previously another band had lived there who'd we toured with, and I guess they had some reputation for smoking marijuana. But the third time it was the bomb squad came, and we all got hauled down to the police station. And we'd been on a demonstration in Leeds against Barclays Bank, who invested in apartheid at the time in South Africa. And we'd stood outside the bank and handed out leaflets and stuck stickers on the cash machine. And apparently later in the day, somebody left a smoke bomb by the cash machine. Smoke bomb meaning like a firework. I don't know what it was. And on the back of that, the cops just raided all the anarchist houses in Leeds. And I guess the equivalent of the FBI, the special branch, you know, and we're all, you know, they held us for like 11 hours or whatever and asked us lots of questions about anarchists and anarchism, and didn't really know the difference between anarchism and the Socialist Worker Party, and they weren't very well informed. But yeah, so we would have that, you know, and before the borders came down in Europe, we'd often get stopped at the customs going from country to country just because we were a scruffy looking punk band.
So, as you said, that lasted for you for 22 years. You left in early 2000s.
2004, yeah. Uh-huh. We'd all pretty much had children by then, and we'd been doing it for so long, and we just kind of had a band meeting and agreed it'd be good to give it a rest, the full electric band, and some of the guys carried on as more an acoustic version of Chumbawamba and made albums, but they ended probably like 3 or 4 years back. It just kind of lived its natural life, it seemed.
Well, I noticed, you know, in your new group, the Axis of Dissent, mm-hmm. I'll ask you about them, but you do mix it up kind of like Chumbawamba did over time. There's a definitely more acoustic stuff. There's some more electric stuff. So obviously you sort of, there's some a little bit of continuity musically, although it seems very different from all the Chumba stuff. But yeah, talk about how you got to meet and play with this, the new group of musicians here with the Axis.
So basically, yeah, having, you know, gone through the Chumbawamba experience I was never really, you know, we all found that we were good at certain things, and I was never great at being in the studio, but I did write lyrics and occasionally wrote tunes for Chumbawamba, and I always wrote tunes that I'd do solo shows, and that's just something I do. But if I think, right, I'm going to put an album out, I think I've got to get a band. I don't know, it's just, I just don't want to do, you know, me and acoustic guitar for a whole album. So when I first moved to the US and I played at Folklife in Seattle, a band called The Bad Things from Seattle contacted me the night before, said, "Oh, we're playing, we'll come see you, you got to come see us." and Jimmy Berg from the Bad Things, we kind of really got along, and he hitchhiked around Europe following Chumbawamba for a time in the early 90s, and we had a lot in common. And so I started playing shows with them, and then when I recorded my previous album, War Begone, they were the band. And so most of the Bad Things are on the current record, and then some other people, Miranda Ziegler from Rabbit Wild, and three people locally from Twisp came over to Seattle when we recorded. So there's about 14 people on it. And the difficulty will be trying to get those people, because they're all in other bands or they have young kids, and trying to get them together for a show will be challenging, but we made a great record, I feel. So,
well, you're going to be playing by yourself this Friday here in Portland.
Yeah, and locally, you know, where I live, I play with the fiddle player, Anna, and sometimes one of the other singers. You know, and I just played in ballad, and Jimmy came and played accordion. So I'll try and get people if they're available.
So that's going to be at a place called the Heretic House.
Yeah.
And I think I linked to the Facebook page for it on the program page for Wednesday Talk Radio on our website, which is kboo.fm. So you can get all that information. But I think I can give out the address.
There. I think so. North Albina, yeah.
It's 5216 North Albina Avenue, starting...
It opens about 8 o'clock. I'm playing first, actually, around 9 o'clock, and then there's a couple of bands on after.
Okay.
Love Joy and Tango to Tango, I think they're called.
So that's this Friday. Mm-hmm. You can check my guest out, Dan Bertno Bacon from Chumbawamba, and now lives in Twisp, Washington, and plays with a group of people that call themselves the Axis of Descent, and they've got this new album out, Stardust to Darwin Stuff. We heard the title song. I don't know, would you like to play a song from that album or something?
Oh, yeah,
else,
yeah.
You
mean, yeah, okay.
Yeah. Let's go ahead and do that. And again, the number is 503-231-8187. This is talk radio, so we do encourage and enjoy hearing from and talking with you as well.
So this is called Karma Won't Save Us, and to give it its full title, Karma Won't Save Us, from Rex Tillerson. And I wrote this song, I don't know, 18 months ago, 2 years ago.
Oh, no.
And then he became Secretary of State. So I didn't actually rewrite it for the recording, but you'll get the picture when I play it. And the whole album has a science theme to it, which also comes out in this song. How does it start? I've got the other song in my head. Okay. Take a rock in your hand and let it fall wherever you may be. Testable, repeatable, demonstrable evidence of our situation and its gravity. By application of the scientific method, by taking careful measurements, we find that the enduring false positive of endless economic growth is a luxury our species can't afford. So I'm sorry, but karma won't save us. Measured by every soul that ever died, so the rich could get away with getting richer every day, with no palpable corollary consequence. The CEO of ExxonMobil
makes in excess of 40 million a year. Being generous, let's say he works a 60-hour week, he makes minimum wage in the time it takes to say minimum wage. So I'm sorry, but karma won't save us. Measured by every soul that has to die. So the rich could get away with getting richer every day, with nil tangible cost to the ruling class. Does it make me angry? It makes me apoplectic that we'd enable the 1% to drive the whole picnic over the cliff without applying the science of being scientific. So I'm sorry, but karma won't save us. Measured by every living thing that has to die, peer-reviewed evidence clearly shows predator capital is a psychosis beyond hope, an aberration, a rogue meme, a failed experiment, and an insult to our millions of years old evolved intelligence.
There you have it. Danbert Nobakin live in studio with one of the songs from his and his group's new release coming out in a couple weeks, mm-hmm. publicly, Stardust to Darwin Stuff. I want to talk about the science and the theme, but first I read that you occasionally played keyboards with Chumbawamba.
Not really, no.
No? So you didn't really
I don't know. Wikipedia has that, and I'm not going to go in and correct it, because if you go in and correct your own Wikipedia, people start getting suspicious. Because I remember old George Bush's people started doing that in the early 2000s, and there was a whole scandal about it. I did occasionally play keyboards when Lou, who did play keyboards for most of the songs, went up front to sing a couple of songs. So I just filled in on keyboards, but mainly I was we had three front people, me, Alice, and Dunstan, and we'd trade off or sometimes do songs together, and we'd go do costume changes and use props, and so it was.
You're talking about lead vocalists.
Yeah.
Yeah. But in terms of instruments, did you play instruments?
Not really, not in Chumbawamba.
But had you always played guitar?
I'd always kind of messed around, and my first solo album came out just before the first Chumba EP, which was, I'd written songs on acoustic guitar. So I'd always, I always did. And then Chumbawamba just became like a full-time concern. So for, the 90s, I didn't really play much solo. And then once Chumbawamba was done, I kind of went back to it.
So I don't know, anybody who's not familiar with the work of Chumbawamba, I really encourage you, because all the lead singers are just amazing, and the theatricality of it is really wonderful. But I used to have that Pictures of Starving Children sell records, and that some of those songs like Unilever. So do you remember? I should be able to. Mm-hmm. Have in my ear which ones you did lead. Do you remember which ones you did the lead?
Oh, no, no idea.
No, you don't remember? Like, we had more whitewashing.
Yeah, I think I sang on that one. We had like 11 studio albums and all kinds of singles and other releases. So over the years, you know, so like in an album every couple of years, basically.
Well, you must have done lead on Always Tell the Voter What the Voter Wants to Hear.
I think so. Yeah. Me and Alice traded off.
Right.
And we were kind of, you know, I talk about the theatrical side of it. And we tried to bring that out on the records, but obviously in a live show, it's easier. And we would be like, you know, the two political candidates from either side, which is basically the center right, and it's even more right these days, but basically saying the same thing. Pepsi and Coke.
Right. So again, Dan Burton, No Bacon, is here live in the studio. We haven't had any callers yet. We'd love to hear from you at 503-231-8187. And again, you can go check him out this Friday at the Heretic House. So this, you're on a kind of a sort of a tour.
It's funny, you know, because, you know, as I said, the band, it would be difficult to put a tour together.
Right.
But also, you know, I have children who are now seven. I have twins who are 17. So, and I, the high school they go to, I teach theatre at part time, and I do other bits of things. But I will be out and about.
So you're no longer a full time touring musician.
No. Maybe I'll go back to that when they're done high school. But and it's just, you know, where I am in my life. But I don't think that should restrict a person from putting out music just because you can't do the rock and roll thing of going on tour and, you know, doing the traditional promotional route. But I will be, you know, I'm going to be going to the East Coast later in the month. I have a thing in Seattle coming up, and I'll be in Seattle again for Folk Life Weekend and Punk as Folk, which we do every year.
Punk as Folk?
Punk as Folk. So it's kind of a fringe Folk Life thing, and it's on the Saturday night, and we usually do it at Connor Byrne in Ballard. And actually, I will have a band for part of that. We're going to rehearse some songs, So that's always cool, and I MC the event.
So that's during the Seattle Folk Life Festival?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what dates is that again?
It's Memorial Day weekend, so the Saturday night in Ballard.
Okay. And so that can lead into talking about the subject matter of a lot of your songs here, that you're going to Washington for the March for Science.
March for Science, yeah.
So how did you get invited to that, I take it?
Well, I have friends in D.C., and I haven't been for quite a few years. And they said, oh, we'll organize a show, and I'm going to go on the march and try and make a film of the march and set one of the songs, probably that song I just played, actually, to the movie footage, if it works out. Yeah, I just thought, because, you know, I mean, I've had this idea of a science-themed album for quite a long time, but it because of what's happening, because Trump basically has declared war on science, it's suddenly become super relevant instead of just relevant, it seems. And I just feel, you know, and the reason I started with the theme, I realised that in my lyric writing, I was using scientific imagery because I read popular science books or whatever, especially about evolution and human evolution. And it just naturally filtered into my songwriting. And then I started doing it consciously a little bit as well. I thought, well, I should do an album that has that kind of theme to it. It just seemed, you know, and I know I come from the 1980s, and when the big threat was nuclear annihilation, the Cold War. And at that time, and, you know, science experimenting on animals in laboratories. And I was kind of anti-science in a way. And then I guess I opened up my mind a little just by reading and one thing and another and talking to people. And I kind of realized that science, like anything else, like punk rock, can be co-opted and bought up and by the economic system, the neoliberal economic system. So it's not science that's bad, it's the way a corporation takes it and uses it. But science, which is a method, not an ideology, is the best chance of us gauging the health of the planet, I think. And of course, Trump, you know, he wants to cut funding to NASA's climate science and the NOAA climate science and everything else. And it's just the opposite of what we need at this point in time.
At this very dire, extremely dire point in time, didn't need to get much direr.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Stardust to Darwin stuff. You know, it's really wonderful to hear you take on these themes musically in a really, I think, very poetic way as well. But I don't know, I've been inspired by, there's sort of this, now it seems almost, I don't know, archaic almost, but, you know, when I got involved in Earth First back in the 80s, and there's this whole, kind of this whole small cultural shift happening, you know. It seemed at the time bigger than it probably was and very dramatic, but it was, you know, it was significant. So there's this whole challenge, you know, to the mechanistic paradigm, which obviously had been going on for quite a while. But, you know, even I forget the name of the theologian who wrote a book about sort of the, you know, this idea of the, you know, you basically this the big picture of human evolution. And I'm totally kind of losing the thought here, but this sort of like basically bringing, you know, religion and science together in this really beautiful holistic way, basically not seeing a contradiction and seeing basically like our story, you know, is the story of the unfolding of the universe, as basically you talk about, into the that, you know, we belong in this universe, kind of flies in the face of, you know, the modern alienation. It's kind of always sort of difficult to claim that, and that's what really Earth First was doing, was sort of, you know, yeah, putting us back in. Anyway, so obviously that's been something you've been thinking about grappling
with
for
quite a
while.
Yeah, and it's just, you know, if you look at the last 40 years when, you know, CO2 emissions have skyrocketed, even though the knowledge has been there that it's damaging the planet, and the neoliberal economic system has just funneled wealth vertically upwards. But during that same time, there's been a revolution in science, in evolutionary studies, in what we know about where we come from and how the planet works, and also which I kind of touch on the record, the idea that art is something we evolved because it helped us survive. There's this whole field of study which I find fascinating, that, you know, because as an artist, you think, you know, I had friends who were social workers and teachers, and I'm in this punk rock band traveling around and having a great time. And am I actually doing anything socially useful? I question myself. But it seems there's very good reason to think that, yeah, art basically helps us survive. It is food for the brain, for the soul. And I studied in school for 2 years, which is probably where my leanings towards science come from. I studied children's play in school for 2 years and got an associate degree in England. And even that, you know, I was studying that in the early 90s, and the stuff that's been discovered since, for instance, I teach in a high school, I have teenage children. Teenagers, you know, dismissed as delinquents, juvenile delinquents, but actually, you know, modern brain science tells us that the teenage brain changes more than the teenage body does during puberty, during teenage and into the early 20s. And it's, you know, the human brain is expanding and trying to make all these connections. And that's why teenagers can be crazy, you know, and it's it's not a disease. It's just part of the normal process of, you know, growing.
Yeah, I just read some about that. There, just an article came. You know, you get it if you're on Facebook. It's like this stuff pops up. It seems like there's a something new just came out, basically saying that yeah, the teenage brain is like actually a different, you know, it's a
yeah.
different brain than
is,
the
yeah.
child brain and the adult brain.
It is, yeah, so, and it's in transition and. Yeah. And it wants to take risks, whatever they may be.
Yeah, so it makes you take risks, but it also you're able to adapt. I think
yeah.
it's both our, you know, speaking of evolution, I mean, that's always been my theory. It's a double-edged sword. You know, it's both what's allowed us to survive and adapt, and also what's created such a disaster because we
yeah.
you know we
oh, it is,
we
yeah.
over adapt and we force everything to adapt to us ultimately
yeah yeah now we're changing the environment
right.
so but you know the optimist in me hopes that knowledge will enable us to change course and you know even though it was a disaster that Trump got elected and put all those people in his cabinet who basically just want to suck the wealth upwards even more for the billionaires, by the billionaires. I think it is a wake-up call. And I have never witnessed in, you know, 30-plus years of activism since punk, people being so enraged and mobilized. Where I live, you know, people want to get involved. They want to do something. And so, you know, our local representative, who is a Republican, this is a funny story actually, obviously it didn't show up at the town hall, had a phone in and I was on the list, so the, you know, a minute before it starts, oh, the phone in's happening, and basically he just talked to his friends. He obviously had some way to screen the calls, so, and then my children, you know, they spent all the last fall fundraising. They do it every year, juniors at the high school. They go on this trip to DC and it's called Close Up. And it's, you know, schools from all over the country go and they tour the sites in Washington and meet, hopefully, the local representatives. Anyway, they had a meeting with Dan Newhouse, the Republican representative, scheduled for 45 minutes. He was 15 minutes late. He spent the next 15 minutes taking a selfie with them, and then they got to ask him questions, and I'd been texting my children, as had other parents, saying, you've got to ask him this, you've got to ask him that, and basically he just ignored any pertinent questions, and then he was gone, and then he posted it on his Facebook. Oh, here's me with the kids, this is my favourite part of my day, I'm in DC representing these people. And so, you know, people are outraged that he's just basically, he is part of the Trump group thing. He's just voted everywhere. He was going to vote for the American Health Care Act. And, you know, he voted to keep Trump's taxes secret. Voting to open up public lands and whatever. Yeah.
He's one of them.
He's one of them, yeah, totally.
Hey, so speaking of art and music, let's hear, we haven't heard a Chumbawamba song yet.
Oh, yeah.
So let's hear that on CD2. Liam, my soundboard operator, thank you. Let's hear that song on CD2. I'm in Trouble Again.
Don't you worry about a plastic toy with my happy meal. I feel sick.
Okay, we're back, and that was I'm in Trouble Again. You want to say anything about that song?
Yeah, from the WYSIWYG album, which was the album after the big Tub Thumper album. And actually, that's probably one of my favourite albums of the Chumbawamba, I think, WYSIWYG. You know, because we had this enormous success with the one song, really, and toured the album. And then we all went away and had children, basically. And then put this album out, which was a total flop commercially. But it's got like 22 tracks on it, some little bits, and it's just, you know, early 2000s and the Bush administration's in power. And I just think it was a great comment on the times, still relevant in a lot of ways.
So there you have it, WYSIWYG. So again, no one has called in, which is fine, because I'm really enjoying talking to Dan Burt here. But if you want to, you might want to call in real soon if you did want to ask a question or make a comment, 503-231-8187. But we're going to carry on. So since you mentioned Tub Thumping, which became such a huge commercial success, and I'm sure it helped you all out financially and also brought you to a wider audience. But there is a funny story. The only time I ever saw you was when you were on a tour in the States or on that, around that album. What year would that have been?
97 or 98, probably.
Yeah. So it was in Washington, D.C., and I was out there, and I was looking around, and it was at the 930 Club, where they had moved to a different location.
Yeah.
And I was looking around, and they're all like late teens and 20-somethings. Like, what the heck?
Yeah.
I think I edge up to something. I edge up to some young woman, and I said, you like this band? I was like, you know much about this band? Oh, yeah, I just know that song on the radio.
Yeah.
It's like, funny. Oh, no. It's like my worst fears realized.
It's funny, but then the demographic went even younger, you know. So it was like kids with the parents showing up, early teens. But it was cool because that part of what we did, we always kind of wanted to break out of the idea of preaching to the converted. So it was a good experiment in that way, and one that we couldn't control. So, you know, but interesting.
So you want to play a few chords of that?
I didn't play guitar, so.
Okay. Anyway, so for those of you out there who don't know what we're talking about, I get knocked down, but I get up again. They're going to keep me down. I get knocked down. Anyway, that's the song, yeah. Tub Thumping.
Yeah. And it was fascinating for us who were obsessed with popular culture to suddenly be thrust into the heart of the beast kind of thing and see how it worked from the inside.
Looks like we got a caller.
Oh, cool.
So go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, man. Thanks for the anthem. I'm Jeff from San Francisco.
All right.
Went to every show I could.
Jeff.
Congratulations. Welcome to the Northwest. I'm up in Portland now myself.
Oh, cool.
I want to try to catch you. Where are you playing this weekend, is it?
It's on Friday, and it's like a house show, a punk house show, and it's called Heretic House.
And the address is 5216 North Albina, and I guess doors open at 8, and he says he's going to start playing around 9.
Yeah, I'm on first, so I'm playing around 9.
Right on.
Cool.
I'll come. I'll bring some people that'll appreciate.
Oh, cool. Thanks.
Awesome.
All right. Good to hear from you, man. Keep it up, and thanks for all the fun stuff, and I appreciate that you're active and what's going on politically and in our world today. I have three little boys, so it's all important.
Yeah, thanks, Jeff. Thanks for calling in.
All right, man. And again, you have another 14 minutes or so to call in, and that's my cue to let you know that coming up this morning on KBOO at 9 on the Politics of Living, people of different political persuasions get together for weekly meetups. Plus, the niece of James Baldwin talks about her famous uncle in the film I'm Not Your Negro, which I have not yet seen. I hear it's really good. I'd like to see that. But at 10, Chris Andre hosts Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. At 10:15, it's Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein, as usual. And at 11, the Bike Show talks to cycling podcasters We Got to Hang Out and The Sprocket. Tonight at 5 on the KBOO Evening News, we'll introduce you to a 15-year-old who's on a mission to bring worldwide awareness to the history of U.S. nuclear activity in the Marshall Islands. A very terrible history. Thank you, KBOO members, for all of your support. And if you're not a member, you know you can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on donate. And you can also go to kboo.fm/Wednesday Talk Radio and look up all the information about my guest today, Danbert Nobakian, who's with us live in the studio. You want to play us another song, possibly?
Oh, me?
I don't know. Or you want to hear sure. Maybe you want to hear another one from the new album? What do you want to do?
I can play one.
Okay.
To be or not to be. It's a bit long. Is that okay?
Well, go ahead. I might cut you off.
Okay. So just by way of introduction, I mentioned earlier I teach theater at the high school. And the first couple of years, I wrote plays with the students till the authorities realized that might be too contentious. Anyway, this is from the second. And they were plays with music. So there was a snippet of a song from the play, which I turned into this song. And the play was set in the near future. And that near future is becoming increasingly true. And hopefully I'm going to turn it into a young adult novel, the play. But here's the song. It's called To Be or Not to Be. Which, as thespians will know, is a famous line from a famous play.
Is that out of tune?
Am I out of tune?
I sound a little bit like it.
Yeah, sorry.
That's all right. Go ahead, take your time. So again, I'm speaking with Danbert Nobakian with ex Chumbawamba, the great English punk anarchist band from the 80s and 90s, and we've been wide-ranging. Now lives in Twisp, Washington, up in North Central, I believe, Washington
North
State?
Central Wah, yeah.
North Central Wah.
On the eastern side of the Cascades, 45 miles from Canada as the crow flies, but it's all wilderness, and being an English boy, and there's like bears and snakes and cougars,
oh my.
It is absolutely fascinating, and snow. The snow's just melting out now. Okay, to be or not to be. To be or not to be, to be or not to be. Whether 'tis nobler in the mind to suffer the slings and arrows and reaper drones of those who make outrageous fortunes from the suicide bomb of fossil fuel. To be or not to be, to be or not to be. Nowhere to run, nowhere to hide, when the whole planet is a sacrifice zone for the 1% in their green zone. To be or not to be, to be engaged in this existential struggle. To be or not to be, between life on Earth and an economic model, or to take arms against a rising sea of troubles by opposing them from the ground up. And then
singing die, 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 capitalism must die, 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 capitalism must die. We take our power from the wind and sun, and leave the oil in the ground. Demand clean air and fresh clean water, and leave the oil in the ground. And we'll be singing, die, 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 capitalism must die, 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 capitalism must die. Standing against all the president's men, all along the barricades, singing pipeline, no pass around. All along the barricades, the empire of fossil fuel has had it far too good for far too long. But all things decease, all things decay. The lack of separation between state and corporation, way past its sell-by date. So die neoliberalism, deregulator rapism. Die, 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 capitalism must die. Die, 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 capitalism must die. Die, capitalism must die, and leave the oil in the ground. Die, capitalism must die, and leave the coal in the ground. Die, capitalism must die, and leave the gas in the ground. Die, capitalism must die, and leave the Arctic sound. Die, capitalism must die. Die, capitalism must die. Die, capitalism must die. And in death fertilize power that is local community sized, and a human condition that can empathize with sustainability, and an end to this insanity, and an answer to the question, to be, to be, gotta be to be, it's gotta be to be. So come on, come on, come on, come on, you know we need a revolution. Come on, come on, come on, come on, we're gonna be a part of the solution. To be, gotta be to be, it's gotta be to be, it's gotta be to be.
Yes, sirree. To be or not to be. Very
cool. Thanks.
Existentialism is more relevant than ever.
It certainly is. Yeah.
So that's From Stardust to Darwin Stuff, a new release coming out soon. And you can find the link to your YouTube channel. There's just so many links.
I know. And so, yeah, if you, and my website, danbutnobacon.com, I haven't quite posted the video up there yet, but there's a link to the album on Bandcamp and one thing and another.
Yeah, I think I have a lot of those on.
Yeah.
You can find all those in one convenient place.
Yeah.
At our website at kbo.fm. Yeah. But, you know, the most important thing is we get together face to face and make meaningful relationships and solidify our common ground and try to come together and overcome a lot of these long-standing, increasingly atavistic and ridiculous divisions that are preventing us from really making a strong resistance to what's happening. I think that's really important. But, yeah. You know, we can also use the existing technologies before they finally disappear,
mm-hmm.
I think. I'm an Earth firster. I'm a Luddite. Can I say I'm a Luddite? You have more claim to you know Ned Ludd than I do for sure.
Well, the Luddites were very local to where I grew up, and Boff actually from Chumbawamba, who is absolutely obsessed with that. He conducts hikes around the Luddite sites in northern England and stops and says where such and such a thing happened and. Which is really cool, you know, keeping that folk history alive because really, I mean, the history of, you know, resistance, you know, ordinary people, working people resisting is what brings change. And now more than ever in this country and in the wider world, in Britain as well, which is also gone, you know, AWOL, it is very important that people, communities do come together to resist, you know, basically an oligarchy, you know, just sucking everything out of the environment and the planet and people's lives and putting nothing back. It's up to us, really.
Indeed. And you sort of alluded to Brexit. Of course, we won't be able to talk about that. And I guess a full discussion of the history and meaning of Luddism and popular resistance going back to the Diggers. Of course, Chumbawamba did mm-hmm. the Diggers song. English Rebel Songs, another one of your great albums. You guys kind of dipped into folk. I sort of wanted to talk to you about your sort of connection to the folk legacy in the UK. I do a folk show, which I'm on doing tomorrow morning, actually, from 5:30 to 7. And I've played some of those songs. But we're almost out of time. In fact, we are pretty much out of time. So I guess we'll just mention once again, you'll be playing in town on Friday night at the Heretic House. Yep. Give that address. Oh, just one more time. Mm-hmm. On Albina Street. Oh my God, where is it? 1816. Anyway, it's on the website, kboo.fm, Wednesday Talk Radio. You can find out. Oh, here you go. 5216 North Albina Avenue. Doors open at 8. And he's on. Thank you so much, Danber. We got to get out.
Oh,
of
yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah. Just on that punk folk thing, we just realized that folk, you know, music had kind of punk roots or vice versa, and the two went hand in hand. So it made complete sense to us.
Yeah. Indeed. All right.
Well, thanks for having me. Thanks, KBOO, for doing what you do. It's great.
All right.